Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Lord, give us words of life this morning. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your ears and say, Lord, give me a digged ear. You didn't hear what I said, did you? That's why you need a digged ear. Lord, give me a digged ear. All right. Yeah. Here's a great verse. Isaiah 48, verse 17. I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to profit. Wow, you didn't know that was in there, did you? I'm the Lord your God who teaches you how to prosper, to how to profit, not just make ends meet. Our loving Heavenly Father, as soon as he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord who provides, the devil heard that and thought, right, 50 billion demons, your assignment is to keep them poor. Because I know God is up to something. How are we going to finance 22,000 YWAMers? Because YWAMers ain't got any money. That's how they got their name. Youth without any money. The word says, some are sent, and those who stay behind, send those who are sent. Well, how do you send them? You pay their airfares. Tobali, where are you? Did you pay your own airfare? You did. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. No man, the Bible says, goes to war at his own expense. So why is that man paying his own airfare? That's my question. I'm not trying to dump guilt on anybody. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. Because half of you don't believe prosperity is the will of God. Because you've been listening to those 20 billion demons. Well, I got one convert. The rest of you, just don't finish, don't leave just yet, okay? I got a bit more convincing to do. We took up a love offering for our guest speaker last Sunday. It was enough to pay her petrol. And, you know, you guys are so generous. This is a really generous church. Most guest speakers who come here, they say, gosh, you know, for the size of your church, your love offerings are amazing. And you people are really generous, and I applaud you. I commend you. But you know what last Sunday's offering told me? We're not giving out of abundance. We're giving out of our own need. God wants us to give out of abundance. And you've already given everything you've got, and there's just nothing left. You've got bills at the end of the month that you're looking at, and you're thinking, I'd love to give more. We emptied our missions account because I refused to give her petrol money only. We want to give her something as well. So, but now our missions account is empty. I'm going to talk some more about that. I'm actually doing Hearing from God, part 5. This has got a bit of a ring on it. Eh? Do you want to turn it down just a bit? A bit of a ring. And the other thing is, you know, one of the greatest needs in the world right now, you turn on your news. I'm so tired of hearing all these welfare stories. Well, you know, what did Jacinda Ardern say? That as soon as she became Prime Minister, what was her number one goal? To end child poverty. That's her modus operandi. I'd love to ask her in 6 years' time or wherever it is she moves on. Jacinda, did you end child poverty? No. She's only going to make the situation worse because give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. Human need is an endless dinosaur. If you just keep throwing money at it, that's not the answer. But that's what they need. They need to know how to be in touch with somebody who's going to help them provide for themselves. But people aren't going to follow you unless they like where you're going, and they need to know that your Heavenly Father is a God of abundance. And if they see you scratching around at the end of the month trying to pay your bills, then why should they follow your God when their God actually is making a whole lot more money than yours is? The heart of our loving Heavenly Father aches to provide for his children. Isn't that what fathers do? I've not been a perfect father, but I do pride myself on the fact that we kept our marriage together. Amen. We provided a stable environment to raise our children. And I often tell people, you know, we took a vow of poverty when I got married. In my wedding speech, I said, Pam and I will never own our own home. That's my wedding speech. Pam and I will never own our own home because God has called us to the ministry. And you know what that means? You're going to be dirt poor the rest of your life. We all have cluttered thinking. We have religious traditions, and Jesus says, because of your traditions, you have nullified the word of God. You have made the word of God of no effect. There's only one thing stronger than the word of God, and that's your thinking, shaped by religious tradition. We have been cursed with the best theologians since the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, they're not all bad, but some of them are so messed up. And they stand here and they fill our heads with so much toxic religion. It's hard to breathe. I love our church. You know, church was meant to be messy. Wherever Jesus went, he caused a mess. He made riots wherever he went. 1st time he showed up in the big one, the temple in Jerusalem. He not only overturned the tables and kicked out all the money changers, I read it last night, it was interesting. He said he forbade anybody to sell their wares. Now, how did he do that? You think about that for a moment. Because there were hundreds of them. And he forbade anybody to sell their wares in the house of God. My Father's house should be a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how I got there. I'm getting sidetracked. I'm getting distracted. All right, so I'm talking about hearing from God, but at some stage during the message, should time permit, dear Jesus, help me, I'm going to go there. Oh, that's what I was going to say. You know, poverty, world poverty, it's the greatest need the world has today, one of the greatest needs the world has today. And so Satan doesn't want the church to be relevant. So he doesn't want us to be able to meet that need. He wants us to have just enough for us and no one else, so that we don't get to fulfill that great commission that Jesus has for us. There's been abuse. Of course there is. There always is. Man, if you're around the 70s when that whole truth about demonology was being restored, man, there were demons everywhere. As everybody prayed over your chair before you sat in it this morning. You don't know who sat in that chair before you did. Did you pray over your chair before you sat in it? Oh, brother. Chocolate demons and lipstick demons. God. Okay, so whenever God is restoring truth, there's always, the pendulum always swings too far. And there has been real abuse in that whole subject area, which is why we feel embarrassed talking about it now. We don't want to be lumped in with that prosperity gospel stuff, you know. We don't want to be seen to be, you know, going to extremes. No, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's pretty hard to read the Bible and not come across the goodness of God. Well, what does that look like? So anyway, I'm talking about hearing from God. So this morning, hopefully we hear about that from God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Some people say, "I find it really hard to hear from God. I don't know. I just don't hear from God as much as I'd like to." But the good news is you probably do and you don't realize it because you have the mind of Christ. And you know, half your thinking is Jesus thinking through you. Here's my paraphrase. Jesus said, "I have a relationship. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them. So they hear me speaking to them as we walk through the day together, and I give them good counsel to follow." Psalm 25 verse 12 says, "What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." I love the Aramaic Bible in plain English. "Who is the man that is in awe of the Lord Jehovah? He will teach him the way that he chooses." God wants to be our special counselor in the area that we need information. So if you're a businessman, God wants to show, he says, "I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit." Wow. No wonder there are so many successful Christian businessmen if they're spending time listening to God. By the way, how did you find that this morning? That quiet bit where we all did nothing for 10 minutes. Wasn't that different? You know, one of the reasons we don't hear God is because we're just too busy. We're just too busy. Yeah, we talk too much. I remember Bill Johnson saying when he goes out with other ministers and they're sitting around a table, he says, "It's a real shame. There's a lack of honor there because they're all busy talking." And he says he never gets a chance to just share one or two things, and he's not going to talk over the top of them. So they leave and all they've done is talk. They never learned a thing. They just talk. Sometimes I'm sitting with somebody and I think, well, you know, I want to make you feel loved and I want to hear your heart. So yeah, please tell me who you are and what you're doing, where you come from. But at some point, if all you do is talk, you're never going to hear God talking through a brother or a sister. And God does use us to encourage one another. We're a body. And he really does want to speak through one another powerfully. But God wants to teach you in your area. If you're a mother, God will give you unbelievable wisdom how to raise your children. Your child, because your child is different from any other child. Your child needs a special understanding that God will give you. God made that child. He knows what that child needs to hear. And if you spend time with God, he will speak to you. But we're so busy doing the stuff of life, we don't come aside to listen to God. And God isn't in all the busyness. He's not in the wind. He's not in the loud thunder. It's a still, quiet voice. Still, small voice. A still voice. A still, small voice. You don't get to hear the still voice unless you spend some time being still. That was good, people. That was good. If you're taking notes, write that down. You won't get to hear the still, small voice unless you spend time being still. So anyway, quick revision. Hearing from God. Number one, desire. One of the ways we hear from God is desire. If you want to know God's will for your life, look inside. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle or the searchlight of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. Your DNA already knows who you are and who you're meant to be. And no one else can tell you that. Your mission in life, should you choose to accept it, is to find out who you are, how God has made you. What do you want to do? Because the Bible says God, if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. A, he will put a desire in our heart, and then he will give us those desires. I applaud all you YWAMers coming all the way over here, uprooting yourselves from your country, from your culture. I'm assuming you had a desire to do that. If you didn't, maybe you need to reassess why you're here. Because let me tell you, if you're called to the ministry, you're not going to last long unless you have a high level of motivation. Or it won't be long and you'll be saying, I'm out of here. It's true of anything. God's not silly. If he's called you to do something, he's going to want you to love what you do. Do what you love. There's going to be strength in that. There's going to be motivation. So what do you want to do? You know I'm thick, but for years I said, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? The problem is that it's so familiar to us, we think it can't be God. Singing and writing songs and recording albums and every morning I get up, I put my feet on the floor and I say, God, I just want to sing you songs. But you know, it took me half my life to figure that out. Man, how thick can you be and still breathe? It's like, what is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is it that's thumping inside you? The devil will tell you, oh, that's just you. Of course it's just you. Who the heck do you think it is? If it's not you, who is it? So God has put this desire in us. It's so simple, people. And the next one leads into the design. What are you good at? What are your strengths? How has God made you? God speaks through design. I remember in my first year at university, I was studying to be a doctor. And the fact that I failed biology kind of helped me change course. But at the end, Dad said, now, come on, Ray, have another go. Do it again. You know, you can do it again. And because they all wanted me to be a doctor. And then I figured out that I was there because they wanted me. I was doing medicine because they wanted me to do medicine. And my parents meant well. But in the end, I had to ask myself the question, what do I want to do? And, you know, as soon as I switched to a music degree, I started getting straight A's. Why? Because that's what I'm designed for. What are you good at? Get a clue. And it's okay to fail. Because while we're finding out our design, we're going to try this. And while you're young, you can do that. You get to my age, you've got to have it figured out, guys. But while you're young, you have a go at this, you have a go at that, and you have a go at this, and you fail at that. That's good. Failure is proof positive. You're involved in the learning process. And you fail, so that's all right. Just a bump in the road of life, pushing you off into another direction. I thank God for every time I've failed. I've learned a lot of things through failure. So design, that's how God speaks to us. Now let's get a little more spiritual. Quickened scripture. God's voice is in his word. Number three, one of the main ways God speaks to you is through his word. People say, oh, God never speaks to me. Well, do you read the Bible? Oh. Let's start with where we know he's already spoken. Right. Unless you're faithful with what you've already got, he's not going to give you any more. Let's start with the Word. And I find most of the times God speaks to me, it's a verse that I've read so many times that it's just a part of me, and it just comes out of my spirit. Oh, God speaks to me. It's a quickened word that's been here for centuries. And God just draws from the well, from the deposit, from the reservoir. But how do you know when God is speaking to you from the Word? Well, there's life on it. You're reading a passage and all of a sudden, whoa, that bit's like highlighted in yellow. Your spirit leaps. It's just like, whoa, all of a sudden it hits you between the eyes. Whoa, never saw that before. Or it's like revelation. You see, this here is not actually the Word of God. This is just printed words on paper. But the Holy Spirit who breathed these words, if you read it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He will speak to you. He will bring life. And someone says to me, how do we know that that's the Word of God? Well, you know, they've got all these theories, and I've studied Ivan Panin, and he's a great guy to read. You know, he talks about the mathematical code that runs through the Bible, proving absolutely could not have been written by a human being. It's just amazing. But that's not why I believe the Word. I believe it's the Word of God because it feeds me. There's so much life that comes out of this. You know, I'm a different man after spending half an hour in this book. This book changes me. So God will speak to you through quickened scripture. I remember I was a young student at Otago University, and I was the only person that I knew of in the place where I was staying in the student hostel that spoke in tongues. And all the other Christians, they thought it was the devil, and, you know, I was weird. And I'd only just got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I knew it was God because the fruit of it told me it was good. But, you know, the speaking in tongues, I was really struggling with that, and I knew I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I didn't have much of a flow with the tongues thing. And man, it seemed like every second person I met was telling me it was from the devil. There's got tribes in Africa, you know, they speak in tongues. How do you know you haven't got one of those ones? And it's just mumbo jumbo, and all the stuff went out with the apostles, you know, and all this religious tradition. I don't know what your background is, but we all come from so many different religious traditions that are so strong, that shape our thinking, that make it almost impossible to hear from God. Because we have made, through the traditions of men, we have made the Word of God of no effect. So there was a theologian on the floor. So I asked him, I thought maybe he could help me. Well, he helped me all right. And he says, why would you want to speak in tongues? I says, because it's in the Bible. And he kind of looked at me like, okay, so you actually believe the Bible. And I thought, well, isn't that what theologians do too? And I remember him saying to me, you have no idea of the scope of the problem. And it'd be about this long, you know. You have no idea of the scope of the problem. So for the next hour, he revealed to me the scope of the problem in trusting the Bible. So many errors, so many mistakes, and so on. And got to the point where I was so confused and so depressed, I went back to my room and I said, God, please help me. And I did something that all good pastors tell you never to do. I did this. I says, God, speak to me. Speak to me. And God in His mercy gave me the verse, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I tell you what, that is the first time God ever spoke to me out of His Word. And I've never forgotten that verse. And that's kind of like being a pillar of my life. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so that's how God speaks to you. And if this doesn't work, then just keep doing it until it does. Because I can promise you there's a verse in there somewhere. And if you don't like the one you get, you just keep going till you find one that you do like. Most recently, and this is where I was hoping to get to, I preach in series because I can never get out in one message what I want to say. But about 2 years ago, the Lord spoke to me, you know, not through the hear, but I heard a voice inside me, and he said, I'm going to show you outrageous abundance. And I thought, what? Where did that come from? I didn't have a grid for that. Like I said, you know, my wife and I, we've only ever had enough. God's been faithful, but because of our religious thinking, our pastors especially, you know, pastors aren't supposed to have money. Pastors aren't supposed to drive nice cars. You know, the elders, you know, God, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor, you know. And so, I'm still working through that one. At least I'm comfortable driving that thing now. You know, I wasn't at first, but I'm comfortable now. Tell you what, if you're not comfortable with it, it won't happen. It'll never come to you. Got to start getting comfortable with some of the stuff that God wants to bless you with. And so, where was I? Oh yes, outrageous abundance. And so I really felt God was saying that, and not just for me, but for anyone who has ears to hear. Because I remember Chris Vellaton saying that God paid off his house mortgage, and he's a prophet. God paid off his house mortgage, and then he said, well, God, what's all that about? And he felt the Lord was saying, it's not just for you. It's for a lot of other people. But what if it's just not for chosen people? What if it's for a season? What if this is a prophetic season that God has for the church to enter? We've been talking about it for so long. What if this is our hour of visitation? And God is wanting us to be a Joseph generation. Because I don't know if you watch the news, but I hear so much stuff about the crash that's coming, you know. And 2008 was just like kindergarten, you know. The next one is really going to be the big mama, you know. And it's like, you know, Venezuela, you know, welcome to our future. Like everybody, not just Venezuela. And, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, I think, personally, I think God is just going to bring great prosperity to the nations. And, you know, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Because that which is built on man's way of doing things is going to be shaken. But then there's going to be revelation. And the body of Christ is going to have the answer. Because we will have a heavenly Father who knows how to provide for his children. And Jacob sowed in a time of famine and reaped 100-fold. And I believe it doesn't matter what the economy is doing, doesn't matter what the culture is. If you've got a heavenly Father who loves you and he sees a sparrow fall to the ground and says, not one of them is going to fall to the ground without me knowing about it. God's not going to let his kids go without. Because he's a good, loving heavenly Father. And he's going to meet my needs. But it's according to our faith. And if we haven't even got faith that he wants to bless us, then how is he going to get that to us? Because the word says, if you ask for anything, if any two of you shall agree, as touching anything, it shall be done for you. I want to do it for you. Why do you want to do it for yourself when I want to do it for you? I want to do it for you. I want to meet your needs. I want to be your provider. And I'm coming. The very first time you prayed, before you prayed, I heard. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask. That's how much he loves us. Before we ask, he knows our need. And the need is on the way. The moment you ask, God answered. The angels are coming. And it says, but, oh, I wish those buts weren't there. But when the Son of Man comes, will he still find faith in the earth? Has the devil been having a go at your believing lately? What do you believe? What do you honestly believe? When push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, what do you believe? I tell you what you believe. It comes out your mouth. Out of the abundance. Now that is why I keep going on about this. I know some of you maybe are tired of hearing the good news. But honestly, we need to have our minds washed. He's a good God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. We need our minds washed with the goodness of God continually, continually. So I thought, okay, hearken to his prophets and so shall you prosper. That's what they're there for. I'm very prophetic. I wouldn't say I had the office of a prophet, but I know I'm very prophetic. I know that. That's not boastful. That's just, it's humility to acknowledge what God has given you. But you have a stewardship with that. And you might not like me talking about this, but I have a stewardship that I'm going to be answerable for. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, talk to God when you get there. But I have to talk to him too. And then Kevin joins our church and he says, God told me to join the church because he wants me to be a blessing to you and he wants to be a blessing to the church. And he told me about cryptocurrencies. And so I let him speak to the church and some people have invested in crypto. It's not everybody, and that's okay. It's not necessarily for everybody. He who is near to hear, God may have some other way for you to take advantage of this opportunity, of the season that we're in. Could be inheritances, could be cancellation of debt, could be unbelievable favor with your boss where you get a pay rise on top of a pay rise. I don't know. I'm not God. All I know is that I heard the word outrageous abundance and that God wants to bless his people because he's a good. Somebody say good. Good. What does good look like? What does Jehovah Jireh look like? Now, I'm not saying we should all own jets, private jets. Well, maybe, okay. If God's given you faith for that, fine. But you know, I've learned not to judge people. Pam was telling me, we'll just move straight on. I just don't have an opinion about some of that stuff. But I will address it in a moment. But anyway, so I said, God, help me with this one because I heard you say outrageous abundance and Kevin's just joined the church and he's talking about cryptocurrencies and I don't know whether we should go there or not. I'm certainly not going to be guilty. I mean, that is speculative gambling. And for a pastor to go there has to be wrong, surely. So speak to me. So we did. Why does everyone go to Matthew 25? Matthew 25. I bet you've never seen this before. It's a parable of the talents. So chapter 25, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave $2 million, to another just under $1 million, and to another one, and to another just under $500,000. What does that tell you about God? He's unbelievably generous. And he wants to be able to trust you with large sums of money. I know, that's rattling your cage. I'm sorry. But the traditions, our religious traditions have made void the word of God. You see, we think of talents as, well, sing, tap dance, jump through hula hoops, or whatever. I don't know. It's not what it is. It's a sum of money. And it's an awful lot of money. I mean, it's a wonderful lot of money. So you see, as soon as I so see, and I mean, I feel like apologizing. Why do we need to apologize for something that's written in the Bible? I'm just asking you a question.
Why?
Why should I feel a need to apologize for something that's written in the Bible? Just asking the question. And to one he gave $2 million, to another half $1 million, to another one half $1 million, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the $2 million went and did what? He traded with them. Hello? If I haven't shaken your religious boundaries yet, then that should do it. He traded with them in whatever their equivalent of the stock market was. I mean, it might have been real estate or something, I don't know. But I thought, oh man, I asked God to speak to me, and here I am, right in the middle of this passage of scripture. This is really rattling my... This makes me feel uncomfortable. You know why? Because it means I've now got a responsibility to do something. And I'd rather not. I just feel safe being a pastor, a poor pastor. How comfortable are you with your poverty? And likewise, he who had received $1 million, $1 million also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the $2 million came and brought to, and so on. You know the story. In verse 21, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, I did a little bit of Bible study. Do you know what? That's the only time in the Bible Jesus ever said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Do your own Bible study. We use that for everything. Oh, you know, you did this, you started up a soup kitchen, you're a faithful pastor, or you raised your kids well. Well done, good and faithful servant. The only time he says this is when this man invested $2 million and gave him back $2 million. Now, I've got to do something with that, because I said God speak to me, and he spoke to me through his word. So, I put my toes in tentatively. Ah, now I'm actually quite enjoying it. But, you know, a lot of people won't. And I go down to verse 25, "And I was afraid and went and hid your money in the ground. Look here, what is yours?" And our religious background, our training can keep us from God wanting to be our loving Heavenly Father. Oops. I wonder what's your fear? What is it that's keeping you from letting God be your loving Heavenly Father? So that's quick in scripture. I'll just do one more quickly. Number four is the prophetic, because it kind of comes out of what I've been sharing. God puts prophets in the body of Christ to speak to us of things to come. I was talking before about, you know, Joseph. He was a prophet, and God put him in Egypt and put him in charge of Egypt, because God knew, because God just knows everything, but there was a time of famine that was going to come and hit the land. And God cared about the Egyptians. Can you believe that? He cared about the Egyptians. And he sent Joseph to the Egyptians. He says, "Look, there's going to be..." Gave him a dream. That's another way God talks to you. And I've got three more. And if you want to know how to hear from God, I got seven. I'm getting through four today, and the other three I'll do next week. Dreams is a very, very powerful way to hear from God. I've had over 130 dreams, I think, since I got the revelation on that one. God speaks to me just incredibly through dreams. So God sends Joseph to Egypt, and he says to Pharaoh, "There's going to be 7 years of plenty, then there's going to be 7 years of famine. In the 7 years of plenty, you're going to have to store up so that you get through the 7 years of famine. So if," and I'm saying if, there are different prophets, Sean Bolts is another one, men that God has given to the body of Christ to speak to our future. If they are saying that we are entering a season of outrageous abundance, there's a reason for that. Either we are entering after that a time of great austerity, and if we have not sown and laid aside provision for that time, then we will be in great need. But also, I talked about before, it's just the harvest. Maybe we really are. I mean, I've been hearing this for 50 years, okay? You know, the Lord Jesus is coming back tomorrow. You young people, you've probably heard it. Jesus coming back tomorrow. I've been hearing that for 50 years. What if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come back? Okay, but what if in the next 10 years we're going to see this massive harvest of souls? Massive. Massive harvest of souls. It's going to take money to staff the pastors, the missionaries, the follow-up, the buildings, the whatever. It's going to cost to bring in the harvest. Maybe God is saying, I'm getting ready to come back and I'm going to need you to get your act together and get some harvesting tools, because we got a lot of work ahead of us. See, it's not about us. It's about the job that needs to be done. God is restoring, I believe, biblical prosperity to us. Wealth has always been a biblical truth. Listen to what Sean Bolt says in his book. God gave him a Rolex watch, and he says, the message behind this is, you are going to learn how to tell new time, and I am crowning your time with my purpose. It represents the resources from heaven coming to you in an accelerated way to accomplish all that he has put in your heart. Charles Wesley, I don't think he was a prophet, but you've heard of Charles Wesley, right? When the French were undergoing their revolution, he was travelling up and down the length and breadth of England, causing revival. And because I was raised a Methodist, when I was in Knox Theological College for 1 year, it took me 4 years to get over that experience, I came across Charles Wesley's journals, and I was amazed to read some stuff there. I came across a passage where he said the greatest need right now in England, and he's a revivalist, he said the greatest need in England right now is for every man to own his own home. What an amazing thing. See, God cares about the whole man. He's a loving heavenly father. On his heart was the fact that you've got all these families and they don't own their home. Wesley preached both the virtues and the responsibilities of wealth. We must exhort all Christians to gain all they can and to save all they can. That is, in effect, to grow rich. This is Charles Wesley. To allow the Christian man to give all he can to those in need. It's not about us. And Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions, and woe to the rich who heap up treasure for themselves. We all know those verses. But that's the whole point. Woe to those who heap up treasure for themselves. That's not what it's for. I've always said, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Because the need is so great. Now here's the thing. I believe God is restoring this truth to the body of Christ. But whenever God is doing something, Satan is doing something, and he tries to bring the counterfeit first. Now listen to me, please, hear my heart. Jesus said, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. And if God is going to restore a truth, the enemy will bring someone with an unbalanced and extreme teaching to cause us to be offended. So we are robbed of the truth of it when it comes. We have all seen and heard unbalanced prosperity teaching. We all have. And it's sickened us, which has led to offense. in the body of Christ. And many have shied away from biblical prosperity because they were offended by the message that was brought by those who came first. Now, I'm not standing in judgment of those who came first. God, they're his servant. But all I know is when I was in America, I watched a 30-minute TV broadcast. 10 minutes was on the word and 20 minutes was taking up the offering. And I thought, there's something wrong here. And these are good people, but it doesn't, you know, everything about you says something about you. And perceived reality is reality. And unfortunately, we have not done a good job in communicating biblical prosperity. But that doesn't mean we should ignore the fact that right now, God is doing his best and he's speaking to us through the prophets. He wants us blessed. And if you have not built a grid for prosperity in your life, for being a candidate for receiving the goodness of God, you won't have faith to reach in that direction and it won't come to you. So, you know, don't worry. If you don't believe in it, it won't happen to you. That's okay. You'll be safe. I've tried to give my faith to others, but it doesn't work. It's according to your faith. And your ability to believe is based on your ability to hear. So I asked you the question, what have you heard? How well did you hear? How convinced are you? Because I've been talking about this for a little while now. By the way, let's put this in some context. I know it might seem like every time I get up, I'm the guy who talks about God wants to bless you. But bear in mind that Pam does most of the preaching. I don't do much. I might preach, I don't know, 6-7 times a year. 10 max. And if Joseph Prince was here, he would be talking about grace. And that's just part of my calling. Unusual, really. Unusual. But a prophet said to me once, God is going to bring businessmen to your church because you have such a heart for worship, such a love for God. They'll see the purity in your spirit. And when you talk about prosperity, there will be a resonance there. They will love it because they know that you don't have a love for it, for the finances. That you have a love for Jesus, and there's a difference. So, you know, that's just put that in that context. So I've mentioned it a few times, but I just kind of wonder how many people have heard that. See, when we were raising our kids, we said to our kids, we were trying to tell them something. Stop, look, and listen. Stop whatever it is you're doing. Look at daddy and listen. Because unless I see their eyes, I'm not convinced they're actually listening to me. So that to the kids at school, I had to do a whole experiment all over again because the kids were, you know, 2 drops of indicator. Yeah. Squirt, squirt. That's like 40 drops, you know. Okay, we've got to do some basics here. Stop. What does stop look like? Look. What does look like? Listen. Come here. And they wander over. No. Here is here. This is where here is. Come here. You got to teach them where here is. So I've shared a little of my journey from poverty to increasing abundance. We're all on a journey and we shouldn't make comparisons. But I've discovered most people are too busy earning a living to make any money. And we just stop every once in a while, do some stock taking. Talked about Moses before. Moses drew aside and looked at the burning bush. He could have walked past, but he saw something supernatural going on. He walked over. He stood by the burning bush and asked God, why? I've been talking about this for some time. Have you taken the time to ask God why? Have you inquired about the burning bush? Because the bush is burning people. Let's go to Isaiah 50 and I'll close with this. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who was weary. He awakens my morning, he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear. Years ago, when I was in the Assemblies of God, there was a lovely old man called Walter Butler who preached a message on God giving us a digged ear. Sometimes we hear stuff, but we don't hear it. Do you know what I mean? And so my prayer is, God, please give us a digged ear. Please give us an ability to hear what you're saying to the church and why you're saying it and why are you saying it to me? Why are you in this church? You YWAMers this morning, why are you here? I may never see you again. This may be the only time you hear me preach this message. This may be the only time you hear this message. Why? The bush is burning. Why? Was it by accident that you came here this morning? Maybe God is saying, I have an unbelievable destiny for you. But unless you find somebody to support you, you know, I would love to take up an offering right now and give $1,000 to every one of these young people. But you do not have an outrageous abundance to do that. So I cannot do that. We had two amazing musicians on Wednesday night. I have tried all my life to try and make a living out of my music. I have 9 albums and they all owe me money. And God said, I want you to do another one. I says, God, hello. He says, maybe I called you to do that, whether they made any money or not. And I'm going to find another way to look after you. But you do what I've told you to do. And I, these two young musicians, I took them aside after. I said, do you know how rare you are? I go to meeting after meeting after meeting. I take my earplugs with me. And I see the flashing lights and the false glory that comes out of the smoke machines. I think, my God, where is God? And I almost didn't go. Pam said, oh, I'd love you to come. I'd love you to meet the YWAMers. I'd love you just to support me. And I said, okay. Right from the first song, I broke. I thought, God, I'm not the only one. Not the only one who loves your presence. And I went to those two young people and I took them aside. I said, do you know how rare you are? I charge you, stay true. Stay true. On the way home, I said, I'm giving those guys some money. I need a missions project. I want to support those two. Because God has shown me that he is about to send me outrageous abundance. Amen. And you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to kick the devil in the face. And every album I made that didn't make any money. And every hour I spent worshiping him that cost me. The price I paid, they are not going to pay. But someone has to pay it. Someone has to send them. Someone has to send them. No man goes to war at his own expense. And these people are doing it at their own expense. And Tabali did it at his own expense. And I'm here to tell you, we have a responsibility to send them. And you do not have an option. This is not optional doctrine. You have a responsibility to send. Maybe you can't go, but I'm telling you through tears, you have a responsibility. to send. Six quick words of knowledge, and you can respond to those and come on up and get prayer. I saw a washing machine, and you were asking, how long, when will my clothes be clean enough? People, we are perfectly imperfect. I had wax in my ear when we went overseas. I thought it had damage to my ear. I thought I'd done damage to it. But it was just wax. I got back home, the doctor says, oh, I just got an ear full of wax, and they squirted it and it all came out. If the wax in your ear is the echo of your past, if the voice of condemnation is louder than your destiny, you need to ask God this morning, give me a digged ear. Because the voice he wants you to hear is a loving one. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Then I saw a prancing deer. When I was a child, I went deer hunting with my dad, and we shot the father or the mother, whatever it was, and there was a fawn. And when we were chasing the deer, this little one jumped up, and I followed that one. Distractions. God said to me when I was a young man, about your age, you were running well, what hindered you? If you haven't yet, you will have distraction. God, give us a digged ear to hear his voice and only his voice. And I saw a mushroom crowd, and there were disasters. Maybe it was a business that you lost and you got over that, but you're still suffering radiation poisoning and you are dying a slow death. Maybe it's a relationship you need to get out of. You have, but you're still, you know, it's hanging on. Walk away and start again. Stop talking about it. Stop beating yourself up. Number four, I saw a blackboard, but today we use whiteboards at school. If there's anything pure, anything lovely, anything of good report, think on those things. You have ears for pain. Maybe you were abused as a child or abused in some way. You need to hear something different than your pain. God wants to speak love into your ears. Maybe you just have religious concepts, and it might not have anything to do with money. You just got religious concepts. God wants to give you a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of listening. Lord, my ears are so biased. I know. Lord, help me to hear your word and not the word of religious tradition or the word of a man. If you got wax in your ears this morning, I want to pray for you. Father, please dig our ears. Please give us hearts for you. Please give us ears for you so that we hear you and you alone. Everyone said, amen.